keep on walking by faith. People have come to look for that, and we don't want to disappoint them. You know, I get letters from all over the world, and they sign off, keep on walking by faith. So I know they're listening. And we certainly do enjoy singing that because it's true, isn't it? That's the only way we're going to get through this mess. This world has absolutely had it. But we know the Lord is holding all things together. He has a people, a remnant, and they're scattered all over the world. They're not found in large places and big numbers. It's as it was in the days of Noah, and it's as it was in the days of Lot. There just is a remnant, and that's all that's left. And that will continue to be that way right up until the end. I've heard some preachers say there'll be massive revivals at the end. The Bible doesn't say that. The reason they say that is they want to promote their cause and fill up Madison Square Garden and all the other facilities and so forth. We know that Dr. Billy Graham, a few years back, it must be 5 or 6 years ago now, was at New York. And he's in a big stadium and all these people were there. And the first thing he did was call up Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton up to the platform. And he said that Bill Clinton has all the gifts and should be an evangelist. The CFR, Trilateral Commission, Illuminist. And then he said Hillary should be president. This abortionist. Huh? You know, where's the thinking apparatus of humanity these days? You know, people are so quickly and easily deceived because they don't know the Word. And because there is a prevailing spirit moving in this world, and we're going to hear more about that shortly as I preach to you a message entitled The Club of Cain. But first we're going to sing that chorus, Keep On Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Think about it. Yes, keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Once more. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Shall we give the Lord a praise today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And it's a good thing to praise the Lord. And I want to greet all of you this morning and all of those listening in other countries and all around the world, all around this country as well. And those that will hear this later by recording, God bless you. I trust and pray and hope that you will take heed to the Word of God today. Really, the Word of God is the only thing that we have that will keep us from all the evil in this world. And the Word of God that we have, and the Spirit of the Lord that moves through the Word, is getting us ready for that great and glad and glorious day of our Lord's appearing. The world is full of idolatry. The world is full of religion, all kinds of religions. Some religions that cut people's heads off. Of course, we've got a candidate for the presidency now who is he's a closet Muslim. Of course, he's slip of the tongue. He came out and said that he was of the Muslim faith and then corrected himself in an interview. I mean Christian, he said. No, we are really up against it right now in this world. And time is moving rapidly onward to the day when our Lord will finally put one foot on the land and one on the sea, as it tells us in Revelation chapter 10, and make the declaration that time shall be no longer. There shall be no more time. It will run out. It'll be the end. But that hasn't happened yet. We still have calendar pages to tear off. We still have clocks that are ticking, Time is moving onward. But as it does, according to the Word of God, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What we're going to do today is look at a subject that will inform us about a spirit, a prevailing spirit moving throughout the world. And it's been going on for a long, long, long time. And we are going to see what it's doing and how it affects us. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, and again, the title of the message today is The Club of Cain. Most of you know, if you know your Bible, that Cain killed his brother. Now, let's begin in Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going way down here to, we're going to start at verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. If you recall back there in the wilderness, Israel came to that mountain and the presence of God came down and there was fire and there was smoke and the presence of the Lord, the ground shook and the people were affrighted. They were scared. Who wouldn't be, right? Of course, what we need today is a real good revival of that fear of God. That is sadly lacking in our society. And the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. They had so much fear, it went beyond the respect for God, they became terrified, so terrified that they said, we don't want to hear from God at all anymore. Big mistake. We do want and need to hear from God. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight. Terrible was the sight. You can't even begin to imagine what it would have been like to stand there at the base of that large mountain, Moses having gone up. You know, one of the reasons they were so shaken up by this is Moses went up and disappeared out of their sight. And as long as they couldn't see Moses, they were scared. Their faith was more in a man than in God. Now, so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. To literally shake in fear. What's this world going to do when the Lord comes? He's coming, I'm telling you. Can you imagine the impact of the population of this world with all of its societies, all of its endeavors, all of its business, all of its banking, education, if you can call it that, more indoctrination now, but any of these things that man is doing, divinely interrupted by the appearing of the Savior with the heavens splitting open, all the religion that has made a mockery of God by its very existence and its rebellion against Him. Can you imagine the impact of the righteous one, the one who died on the cross of Calvary, coming back to all of this deception and evil and conspiracy? What a day that's going to be. But ye are come. Now notice, this is for us to understand. This is us right now that the Scripture is talking about. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. Folks, we are there when we are in the presence of God. We are at a mountain this morning. You have to see it with eyes of faith, but it's there. Ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. That city, the city of your new birth, the New Jerusalem, is right before us. If you look up by faith, you can see it. It's there. Sometimes we don't get deep enough into prayer to understand it. Sometimes we don't shut out the world enough to where we can perceive the things of the Spirit of God. But it's there. And to an innumerable company of angels, more angels than you could ever count. Remember, for every demon spirit, there are two angels of God. People focus a lot on the devil, the conspiracy. All that the devil is doing. Oh, and he's busy. You know why he's so busy? He knows he has a short time. His time is short. And he is going to work harder and harder, stirring up everything that he can, as you'll see in a minute as we read down here. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Notice it doesn't say Catholic church there. It doesn't say Lutheran church there. It doesn't say Methodist church there. It says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. If we are saved by the blood of Jesus, if our names are written in heaven, what good would it do to sign a little church book as a member? And what would you be signing up for? Everything that they embrace. You know, you'd be hard-pressed to find a church that isn't on the payoff list of the Illuminati. Come on. A lot of people find that hard to believe. But things are bought out and sold out, and there is a hell's economy going on. Religions are everywhere, and evil is greater and greater than ever. Can you see something wrong with that equation? All right? There are shenanigans going on behind the scenes, you can be sure of that. But we have gathered and we have come unto the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God. To God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And, it goes on, doesn't it? We are also come, it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. The what? The new covenant, the new agreement with God, that by the blood of Jesus we are saved. Not by our works, not by our endeavors or efforts, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. In spite of all of our shortcomings, the Lord knows how to take care of us. He is our shepherd. Listen, if you were out in this world and you had to survive by your intellect, you'd be long gone. We don't know what to do next sometimes. That's why we pray. That's why we seek God. And He comes through. Come on. Amen. So we are come to Jesus, the mediator. It says in verse 24, the mediator of the new covenant and to the blood of sprinkling. Now watch this. That speaketh better things than that of Abel. If you recall, Cain rose up in envy, in jealousy, in anger, and in hatred, and killed his brother in his own field, meaning in Cain's field. And I'll come back to that thought as well, because we're going back to Genesis 4 once we leave Hebrews. Now, the Bible tells us that this blood of Jesus also shed because of the hatred of man and by the same spirit that was in Cain. That the blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of Abel. You see, blood has a voice. The blood of Jesus continually has a voice, and it is a voice of peace. A voice of reconciliation. If you read in Colossians chapter 1, it will tell you we are made nigh, close to Jesus Christ by the blood. And we are given peace. By the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us that the only reason all things are yet held together is because by Him all things consist. Which means they're held together. You know, even the atomic theory tells us that things should not hold together. When you think about all the, if you remember from your science class, the atom is made up of neutrons, protons, and electrons, and all electrons are negatively charged. And why don't they fly apart? Why do they pull together in such harmony? Now, you can say there's a balance in the nucleus because of the protons, and if there isn't, there's radioactivity. True. However, they should not have any affinity with each other. Everything should fly apart because like charges repel each other. Why do things stay together? The Bible tells us by Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, all things consist. Kind of amazing, isn't it? Great power of God. You know, the Lord always does things in such a way that it's miraculous to man, even though man tries to find another reason why things happen. We see God's creation, we say, miracle after miracle after miracle was performed by our Savior. The scientists try to dig in and look at things. Oh, look what we discovered. You know, and they never quite get it all. Did you know the average life of a science book at this point is 2 years? And it's obsolete. They have to keep replacing them because they find out things are wrong with it. The Lord, right from the very beginning, you know, who knows all things, had it all figured out, and man is stumbling around in the dark trying to find out things. Now, they put this thing, I don't know if you heard about this or not, but over there in Switzerland, they got this big device in the earth. I believe it's 17 miles in diameter, circumference rather. And what they're trying to do is replicate the Big Bang. And it's a nuclear accelerator. They're bombarding this thing. Now, they don't have it turned all the way up yet. Some scientists have said if they turn it all the way up, it will end the world because there will be such a massive black hole that is formed, the earth would be engulfed by it. That's hard for us to understand without looking at the whole thing scientifically. We don't need to do that. But they turned it on and said, look, we're still here. They got it turned on low. All right, when they ramp it up, what's going to happen? But in their arrogance, they're saying, now we know how the universe was formed. We have replicated it in Switzerland. That there was a big bang and it produced all things. Do you think that all of the precision we find in the creation in this world, do you think there's any possibility it could have gotten here by chance? The colors of the flowers, the shape of the petals of the flowers, the variety of the birds, everything you look at, the designs you see in the creation. You know, there would be a better chance of a big explosion in a print shop producing a dictionary than for that theory of evolution to be true. It just doesn't work. But see, you know why they grab at that? Do you know why they say those things? They have this evolutionary thing because it's the best they've got. If they're going to deny God, it's ridiculous, but they use it because it's the best they've got. Other than to admit that there's a God in heaven. But we have come to Jesus, it says in verse 24, the mediator of the new covenant and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And I say thank God for the voice of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because He speaks on our behalf. He is our mediator. He is our defense. The Greek word paraclete, which means that He is our mediator, our defense attorney, as it were. See that ye refuse not Him that speaketh, for if they escaped not, who refused Him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from Him that speaketh from heaven. Of course, these are the days of great falling away. People learn to love the world and get involved in it. And there is a great spirit at work that's causing all that to happen. Again, we'll come back to that thought. Verse 26 says, whose voice then shook the earth. The earth shook at the presence of God. But now, he hath promised, saying, yet once more, going to do it one more time. Once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth, means to show by signs. God will show by signs as time progresses. And you know, I'll tell you, we know we live in the time of the signs, don't we? It's amazing to me. You know, we had this Hurricane Gustav a short while back. And I'm always looking for these things because the Lord told me to watch. He told you to watch. Should we watch? Is He going to show us things? You know, the hurricane people, NOAA, they call it, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. I think that's kind of cute, NOAA weather. But NOAA names hurricanes well in advance. They pick out a whole string of them, go through the whole alphabet. Start with A and end with Z, and then they go back and start over with a double A and double B, you know, they depending on how many there are. And they give names to these hurricanes before they're ever formed even as tropical depressions. But we had Gustav come through and did a certain amount of damage. Don't underestimate it. It caused a lot of trouble. But the name Gustav, of course, means staff of the gods. And goes back to it's a Norwegian, the Old Norse, I should say, name. Norwegian name. Staff of the gods. And of course, that staff was the staff of authority, the Goda, which was the priest of Odin, Thor, and Frey, the Old Norse Trinity, would wrap that thing three times and make a declaration, and that was law. And everybody feared it. Otherwise, the wrath of the gods would come upon you. So Gustav means staff of the gods. That came through. Then Hannah, which means favored grace. Hannah didn't do as much damage. It came in as a hurricane, was reduced to a tropical depression, and a tropical storm, I should say, and then moved up the East Coast. In fact, last Saturday, a week ago Saturday, we were in New York, and we got hit by part of Hannah. And we got drenched with rain there and a lot of high wind, about 40-mile-an-hour winds. That was the leftovers from Hannah. But Hannah means favored grace, and I find it amazing that in the Bible, Hannah was the woman who wept before the Lord, just as the skies wept for this nation as Hannah moved through, to remind us once again that God does give us favored grace if we will take heed to Him and if we will repent. Of course, I haven't seen that happening in our country. And then came Ike. Ike, the name Ike means he shall laugh. Have you ever read in Psalm 2 how the leaders of our world would say, let us cast off God, let's cast off His bonds, we will rule the world, we will be independent. And they reject God absolutely. What does the Bible say? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, he shall have them in derision. And so this hurricane came through and hit, zeroed in, cross-haired on Houston, Galveston, and we still don't know how much damage is there. It is horrendous. Millions of people without power in 90-degree weather, very humid, stifling hot. It's a mess down there. Big, large skyscrapers with every window knocked out, glass and metal all over the streets. Every refinery shut down. All oil installations shut down. Gas prices up again. There's always something, isn't there? But you know, what is the Lord doing here? He's in charge. Come on. He's telling people everywhere to repent. If people are going to reject Him and reject Him and reject Him, judgment will come, and that without remedy. And you know, no matter where you look, we see trouble and strife. Now I understand that this train wreck over there near Chatsworth, near Los Angeles, California, is because the engineer of the commuter train was text messaging on his cell phone and missed a red light which told the train to stop. Another one was coming through on the same track. He didn't see it because he was text messaging on his cell phone. And now there are some 25 or more people dead and a lot of people injured, and it is a terrible, terrible thing. But it's one disaster after another. In the midst of all of this, we have presidential candidates and vice presidential candidates running all over the country declaring that they are the best one. Vote for me. I'm going to fix it all. And I haven't heard any mention of repentance. No call to repentance. You might say, well, they wouldn't dare. Nobody would vote for them. Well, that's all right. If they have an honest heart, they'll call for repentance. But you won't see it. You will not see it because the Bible says, no matter what, in Revelation 9, they refused to repent. Now what we're going to do is go back to Genesis. We read about the blood of Abel speaking, but the blood of Jesus speaking better things. But I want to go back today. Of course, again, the title of the message is The Club of Cain. And I would like to go back to Genesis 4. And we are talking about a spirit, a prevailing spirit that has seized upon this entire world. In Genesis 4:1, it says, "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." So now she was not only raising Abel, but she also was raising Cain. Anyway, verse 3 says, "And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Now some people say, well, Cain wasn't religious at all. He didn't care about God. That's why he was in bad trouble there. No. He was religious, all right. He built an altar, didn't he? And he brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. He was a tiller of the ground. And so it tells us in Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, do you think Satan was anywhere around the vicinity? Now, remember, Satan has many, many subordinate spirits. Satan has a chief general named Beelzebub, which means the Lord of the Flies. He has seven principalities. Ephesians 6:12 tells us we fight against principalities and powers. He has over 200 lesser generals called powers, and then millions of evil spirits under them. Of course, they say in the occult that they've got that all figured out, and that's how they can, know how to fall into harmony, those who are so minded, with the devil's plan. And so he's regimented. If you recall that spirit that spoke in Gadara on behalf of the 2,000 that were inside of that demoniac and those spirits that went into the pigs, he said, I want to stay in this region. Send me not out of the country. He was there on assignment. Devils are on assignment, folks. It isn't just a bunch of haphazard throw temptations here and there and everywhere. There's a little of that going on, of course, but we know that there are various ranks of evil spirits assigned to cities, some even to households and homes. There are those assigned to capital cities of states. You understand, it's a whole regimented system that Satan has. And within it there is a vying for power and there is confusion. But it's there. So yes, Satan was here, As Cain's countenance had fallen, and he became very wroth. And through that anger, a certain spirit entered in that was to become a great and powerful evil spirit that has now filled the world. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? The Lord asks him the question here, and then he says, he gives him a remedy. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Here's God saying, I'll accept you, just do well. Put away your anger. Repent. Well, up to this point, no one had ever been killed. Sin was in the world, but no blood had ever been shed yet. And the Lord said to him, And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now the word lieth there comes from a Hebrew word which means croucheth, as a lion crouching before it pounces. It's right at your door, the Lord is telling him. Sin is crouching at the door of your soul. You're at a crossroads right now, Cain. McCain means son of Cain. We'll come back to that later. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. In other words, look, God is saying to Cain, you're the elder brother. Be an example. Put this all away from you. But Cain didn't listen. God actually talked to him, and he didn't listen. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field. Now I looked into this, and the connotation of that sentence is that Cain literally invited Abel out into one of his own fields where he grew all these crops and all these plants, and he was a tiller of the ground, no doubt a very good one. That was to end. When they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. There was a spirit that took over. And Cain, we don't know exactly how he did it. Perhaps he picked, that's why I call this the club of Cain. But he killed his brother. He slew him in the field. Of course, Jesus tells us later on in Matthew chapter 13 that in the parable chapter, you know, the seven parables, that the field is the world. This world has become Cain's field. This world is inhabited by the spirit of Cain. This field is full of the blood of countless hundreds of millions of people over the course of time, because the field is the world. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Abel's blood had a voice. This was a foreshadowing of much later on, when the Son of God himself, Jesus, would be among the people as God, perfect God, manifested in the man, Christ Jesus, also perfect, among an imperfect world, and they rose up against him as well, by the same spirit of Cain. And here's why. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. His hand literally dripped with his brother's blood, and the earth opened to receive it. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. In other words, he would be itinerant. There's no place he could ever call home. He would be moving around all the time. Things wouldn't work for him. He would run into trouble constantly. Do we have that in the world today? Do we see trouble everywhere? There is a blood curse that was put upon Cain. And by the spirit of Cain, that blood curse is proliferated throughout the entire world. And every place where there is anger and contention and a desire to murder, to kill, to win at any cost, there you will find that spirit of Cain. There are people who rise up, they say, because they're in the right. And they hate what's going on elsewhere. I'll rise up and I'll destroy. I'm going to tell you something. You can take it personally too if you want to. I know that every one of us at one time or another have felt the spirit of Cain. When you feel like picking up a club and just going at it. Huh? Have you ever felt that? And even when you see things that are wrong, I study this all the time. I am absolutely immersed in studying what's going on in the world, and I don't like it. And I see all the people victimized and being destroyed, and all the in the realm of medicine, all these little babies being brought in for all these inoculations and shooting mercury into their veins. And people being led down the path of error by those in leadership authority. All of the false education, which is really one world indoctrination. All the things going on in the money systems. You just want to take a club and get them, right? But see, God stops you. I have been under personal attack for a long time. Sometimes it wells up and becomes great. And people have done and said horrible things to me and about me. And you know, you feel like you want to take that club and just go and get them. But you know what? God never allows His love to enter your fists. Come on. The Lord stopped me more than once and said, I'll take care of it. And when I yielded to Him, then His Spirit came to me again. Because that spirit of Cain will enter you, and you think you're going to go in there and you're going to fix it, and you're going to take care of it. Listen, it's easy to become angry when you see all these things going on. And we should feel righteous indignation. But take that energy. Don't take the club of Cain and try and fix it yourself. But let the Spirit of God come in. Turn that energy into prayer, into intercession, into yielding to God. Let God use you. Let your words be a sword. Let your words be powerful. But don't pick up the club of Cain. Every place you've seen violence, there was the club of Cain. You know, in the world of sports, you find that spirit of Cain. We're going to win. We're going to crash and smash and destroy, and we're going to come away with a trophy. Right? Spirit of Cain. Picking up the club of Cain. Every war that was ever fought, including the Bush Wars. Spirit of Cain. Wherever the spirit of Cain is, there's a blood curse. Afghanistan, Iraq. This is a spirit that gets into people. And it's proliferated. Now it's not just one spirit working on Cain, but all the sons of Cain. By the way, McCain means son of Cain, doesn't it? A lot of people have asked me, what do you think of Sarah Palin? This hockey mom. Huh? People say, wow, she loves family, she loves children, she's just all love, and she's firm, that's nice, you know, but she's got all this family. They're putting her as a virtuous family woman who just love, you know. It's a wonderful, sweet little woman, but of course she made the comment that the only difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull is lipstick. Of course, it was Jezebel who wore lipstick. But anyway, then Obama came back and said, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. So it's getting nasty out there.
But what about this woman? You know, if you put her next to McCain, I've seen a picture of that. McCain looks like a pale, white, transparent figure. He is not well. He's very old. He's 72. And she's young and vivacious and all this, let's go get him kind of thing. If McCain assumes room temperature, she becomes the president. Okay? Assuming that would happen. I'm not saying it will. But if it did, they've actually questioned her a little. By the way, I've seen pictures of her. She loves to put on an Army National Guard uniform. Now, she's an avid shooter. She likes to fire rifles and so forth, but that's not enough. I've seen photographs of her climbing up into a tank and elsewhere, other type of military vehicles, and see, that rifle isn't enough for her. She's got to fire an automatic 50-millimeter machine gun. She's up there, hockey mom is up there, that family woman who should be home making cookies. Am I in trouble yet? She's up there with both hands on that 50-millimeter, and it just, and she's looking at it, and it's, you know. And so they asked her, what should we, they asked, she was in an interview, and she was asked, what about the nation of Georgia? And by the way, we know it was Georgia that was the aggressor. Russia just responded to that aggression. And it was all over a BP oil pipeline, traveling through a province of Russia. Because the United States happens to owe Russia countless billions of dollars, and we've refused to pay up. So Russia's pretty mad at us. That's why we have sent large bombers, nuclear-capable, to Venezuela. So now there's a Venezuelan crisis. And Chavez said to the U.S. ambassador, get out. What's the first thing that they do before a war? They get the ambassadors out. Venezuela is not that far from here. We are on the very, very edge of a third world war, which is springing up all over the globe. In the Middle East, where it will actually be focused. But all these other nations, it's all coming together. Wars, rumors of wars. Did our Savior tell us that? So anyway, they asked her the question, what about this situation with the nation of Georgia? And she said, Georgia should be admitted to NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. They then told her if that were the case, there would be World War III already, because the other NATO nations all will come to the defense of any member nation. And that would mean war with Russia. Her answer was, we need to show Russia that we're tough. See, she feels like, this hockey mom feels like, yeah, we've got all these nukes and we got all these weapons and all this power, but you see, our bullets are peaceful bullets. Our atomic bombs are peaceful atomic bombs. Just put the word peaceful in front of it, see? Because we're going to fix it all, and we are going to make sure there's peace if we have to kill everybody to get it. That's that spirit of Cain rising up. The same spirit that was in the field with Cain. Remember, it's a blood curse. The blood of Abel spoke out, and God heard it. Whatever became of that spirit, as I've been telling you, it's proliferated. It's throughout the world. It's in high places and low places and tries to get into your very life to get you to pick up that club of Cain, that club of hatred. Again, God will never allow His love and His Spirit to enter your fists to vindicate His cause. He will vindicate His cause. Always. So now, the spirit of Cain has gone out among many people. And every time you hear of a war, it's there. Every time you hear of trouble in the family and strife and people throwing vases and ashtrays at each other. Of course, Christians don't have ashtrays, but And all this, you know, throwing things around, fighting and squabbling, and run down to the divorce court. And spirit of Cain. Right? The club of Cain. Maybe you've had somebody wield the club of Cain at you. Why all the strife? The blood curse is upon the world. But you don't have to allow that to enter into your life and into your being. Turn with me for a moment to another scripture. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 26 for a moment. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had prayed 3 times, sweat great drops of blood. They had come to take him. Judas Iscariot, his own friend, came and betrayed him. In fact, let's start at verse 47 here. Matthew 26, 47 says, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came." Again, I'm on Matthew 26, 47. "Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people." Now notice, who sent them? The chief priests. What were they carrying? The club of Cain. They came to take Jesus, who carried no weapon, but it was a mob with clubs and staves, swords and staves, weapons. "Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him." How could anybody be so brazen as to do that? Remember, who was in Judas? Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. Judas was inhabited by Satan himself. Not a demon, Satan himself. Remember when they sat at the Last Supper, Judas was there, and Jesus handed them the bread and the cup was there, the fruit of the vine. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 26. And Jesus said, "One of you shall betray me." They all begin to say, "Master, Lord, is it I?" They weren't pointing fingers at each other. They were concerned it was them. And then Judas said, "Is it I?" And Jesus took some of the bread and dipped it into the juice of the grape and said, "To whom I give the sop, him it is that betrayeth me." And Judas received it. And the Bible tells us when Judas received the sop, the bread dipped in the fruit of the vine, the juice, as the Bible tells us it is. When Judas received it, Satan entered into him when he received the sop. I was talking to a Roman Catholic boy one time. I said, "Why is it that when they do the Mass, the priest does his hoc est corpus meum thing, hocus pocus, you know? That's where the words come from. Hocus pocus comes from the priest's words, hoc est corpus meum." So you see these stage magicians, you know, hocus pocus, and these doves appear and things. They got that from the priest, that those words. It's a takeoff on the Latin, hoc est corpus meum. I said, "Why is it that he goes through that thing and claims that he turns that bread into the real body of Christ, and then he takes that cup and he goes through this other little ritual, and then he drinks all the wine and gives you the bread?" I mean, he takes that and he chugs it. These priests are alcoholics beyond your imagination. I know years ago when I was working as a locksmith over in West Bend there, St. Francis Cabrini Church, I'd changed all their locks, their school, everything, big facility. And they said, "Don't forget to do the wine room." They're really concerned about the wine room. It had to be under lock and key. So I went in there and there wasn't any wine in it. It was all whiskey and vermouth and gin and racks of it. All the wine was sitting out in the hallway. There wasn't room for it. It was so full of liquor. I saw it with my own eyes. And you know, I'll tell you, that was a rolling saloon there. But anyway, I said to him, why is it that the priest drinks all of that, that empties that? You know, remember the funeral of Kennedy, John Kennedy? Some of you are old enough to remember that. Cardinal Cushing did that funeral mass, that high mass. He had a cup that holds the better part of a quart. This big chalice, high mass, you know, jewels all around it. He drank that. I watched him. He stuck his big nose in that, and he had one of these big Italian, you know. He stuck his nose in there. I don't know if he was going to snort it or drink it. But he lifted that cup, and he poured that whole thing down, and Domine Sancto, you know, always talking about dominoes, you know. Poured that whole thing down, and he rang a little bell. And this altar boy came out there, you know, and filled it up again. And he lifted up and went through the whole thing, drank it down. Three of them! You'd be feeling single and seeing double when you drink like that. I don't know anybody who can drink like a priest. Personally, I've never met anybody that drinks more than a priest. It's amazing. Of course, they drink, you know, within the confines of certain walls and so forth. And I'm not being facetious. I got a letter from a place in Wausau, and they wanted me to contribute money to a special home for priests who had become alcoholics in the line of duty. These poor priests had to say so many masses to save your souls and get you into heaven that they became alcoholics, and they wanted me to send a check to help support the facility that would bring these priests in and help dry them out for a while. I know what you're going to say. No, I didn't send them any. Are you surprised? Well, anyway, I talked to this Roman Catholic boy, and I said, why do they do that? He said, oh, they don't always do that. On Good Friday, they dip the bread into the wine, and they give us a little wine in the bread. In other words, it's the sop, right? What does the Bible say? When Judas received the sop, Satan entered into him. Just as Satan enters into all those people who receive the sop in that whole reenacted thing and the detestable way that they do it. Then they have a responsive reading. The priest takes the part of Pontius Pilate. The congregation takes the part of the angry crowd. And he reads. He says, what then shall I do with your Savior? And all those Catholics sit out there and say, crucify him! Crucify him! Come on! Could you do that? What is it? Satan's putting on a reenactment every year. It backfired on him, but he likes to go back and savor that moment when he thought he had won. And so he reenacts it in every Catholic church, every Good Friday, every year, all over the world. I don't know about you, but that shocks me. For some reason, I'm not surprised, but I'm shocked that anybody could do such a thing. You see, the Mass is a reenactment of the death of Christ. That's what it is. That the priest does the sacrifice of the Mass, kills Jesus over and over every time he does it, and then drinks the blood and hands out the body. What does the Bible tell us in Hebrews? Do you ever read it? About those who crucify the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame, that there is no forgiveness for that ever. Have you ever read that in Hebrews? See why the world's in the condition it's in? That Jesus died once for all? I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. And I'm saying this in the face of all the Catholic religion and all of her whore daughters. Somebody better lay it out on the line. Now watch the nasty letters I get. Well, it fills up the mailbox. Some of them I open up, smoke comes out, and I know what's coming. But then I get good ones too. No, it's a fact. It's the spirit of Cain that is prevalent everywhere. And when people get mad at you, they pick up that club of Cain and they're going to fix you. They're going to rearrange your landscape. Do you ever have somebody breathe hatred at you? Anybody ever had that? Anybody, anytime, anywhere? When they're fierce and they're in your face, like these feminists. We are feminists, we are fierce, and we are in your face. You know who the head queen of all the feminists is right now? Sarah Palin. Now you might wonder about that. You watch if she ever got into power, you watch that woman transform. Just watch it. I'm telling you. You know, a lot of people find that hard to believe. Like, she's our great hope. She's anti-abortion. So are the Buddhists. Don't just go by that. I'm glad she is. We don't want the alternative. We don't want any of them. But we're going to get somebody. That's the problem. We're going to get somebody. And we are moving toward an antichrist dominated. Actually, it is already there, but we're moving to a time when the antichrist will rise up and literally declare himself. Is Obama antichrist? Absolutely. We don't want him. McCain, the son of Cain, we don't want him. Sarah Palin, because McCain could assume room temperature anytime. We don't want her. Maybe you do, and I'm offending you, but I'm telling you, anybody's going to get up there and fire a 50-millimeter machine gun and grit her teeth and enjoy it, there's some spirit in her that isn't operating. Can you imagine my wife, Shirley, getting up, climbing up in a tank, pulling that thing back, boom, 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 and euphoria, right? She does it. Don't be fooled by a speech. You can say anything. She says, look at the nice family, five children, and all this, and they're all, you know, la-di-da, and isn't this... See, they're using that as a come-on. Now, I don't want Obama to win. I don't want McCain to win. I don't know. I'm just saying, come, Lord Jesus. What can you do? People think it's terrible if you don't vote. Well, I don't think so. I think that what we need to do, and who could criticize me for this? Petition God. Lord, intervene. He will. What if nobody showed up at the polls and everybody prayed instead? Wouldn't it be great? That's what I think we should do. When I know what's behind all of these people, and you don't get in a position like that. You could not be president if by some quirk, some anomaly, some freak sequence of events, somebody decent did get in, bullets ring out in Dallas. No, the shots ring out in Dallas. Now, I don't think that a lot of people will understand what I'm trying to say because they're focusing too much on this world. And we see all of this rottenness and evil. But don't let the spirit of Cain come into you to try to fix it. Nobody can, only God. Now, you don't have to believe what I'm saying, but I believe I've got the scripture as a foundation for what I'm saying. Don't put your trust in man or woman. You're going to find nothing but disappointment. Besides, the president can only do so much, even if he or she wanted to rebel against the system. It's a big machine that's running. Our country was an experiment from the start. It's gone on for a long time. But the way things are, the way they have become, there's only one remedy at this point, and that's the coming of the Lord. Thankfully, we know that His coming is nigh at hand. We're not through yet. We know that Judas came and betrayed Jesus. Now, in verse 51 of Matthew 26, it says, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up thy sword, put up again thy sword, into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Could you imagine that? To come and fight for him? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In other words, it was Peter, drew his sword, club of Cain, right? And he wasn't aiming for that guy's ear. He was going to split his head wide open. The man ducked, and he caught his ear, and Jesus picked it up and healed him. Don't take up the sword. Let God handle it. Come on. You know, I do have a little problem with Sarah Palin putting on a military uniform and grabbing guns and climbing in tanks in Alaska because she loves doing that. Something, it tells me there's something wrong there, folks. Something doesn't ring right. And it doesn't take a lot of discernment to figure that out. Another reason I have a problem with that is any chief executive, whether it be president or governor, is proscribed from ever putting on a military uniform. Did you know that? By law. Proscribed means forbidden by law. Has Bush ever put one on? Oh yeah. Palin? In Alaska? Yep. See, that's why you have an adjutant general. They are in charge of that state's military, National Guard, and so forth. It is against the law because then you become a dictator. If you wear a military... Did Castro wear a uniform? Sukarno? Mao Zedong? George Bush? Yes, I'm lumping them all together. It's a strange spirit because it is the voice of the blood curse of Cain that wants to rise up. And you know, again, and so many people have asked me about Sarah Palin. When she wants to go to war with Russia, and she stated she does, we got to show them we're tough. Do you want to put her at a console where 100 megaton nuclear weapons are fired? With that little red button, you flip the top up and then push it down, and away we go. Mushroom cloud time. See, it's that same spirit that was in Cain that caused him to take his brother out into the field of his own harvest there and take that and just wrap him and kill him until the blood soaked into the ground. And a voice of that blood came up before God. And what they did to Jesus, turn with me now while I have a few minutes left. If you go to John 19. We're going to start at verse 8. Now, of course, the Pharisees accused Jesus of trying to make himself the Son of God. Who was Jesus? Son of God. All right? That was his crime, according to them. Isn't that amazing? When truth becomes a crime? When Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, I'm on verse 8 of John 19. When Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought. That means he dug in, he looked for a way. He sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Now what did they do? They brought the government into it. If you let him go, then, and he's a king, that means you're against Caesar. And of course, he was a governor subordinate to Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold, your king. Watch the answer. He presents Jesus to them. A Roman governor says, Here's your king. But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Don't get into that politics stuff, folks. We have no king but Caesar. We have no king but the one who wields the 501c3 and controls us. He's our king. He's our God. No king but Caesar. That means you don't have Jesus. Come on. Now, who is it going to be? And that crowd was so deceived. They were so given over to the government of Rome. They gave their hearts to Rome right there, not to God. That is what the spirit of Cain will do. Not only will it cause people to rise up against the truth and even start wars, major wars, world wars, lifting the club of Cain, but it will cause you to yield to a governmental power that is literally Antichrist. The spirit of Cain is leading people to Antichrist. We have no king but Caesar. We have no governance but the government itself. We do not know Jesus Christ. We'll have our church subordinate to the government in Washington. Come on, there's no salvation there, folks. Now we've got to ride this thing out. It's not easy. We'd like to think there's something we can do. And there is. There is. But it takes faith. And it takes prayer. And most people don't want to do that. For one thing, it seems like it's never enough. Oh, the prayer requests, the people that need healing and need salvation and family problems and money problems and all kinds of problems. And you could pray and pray and pray and never stop. We get together on Saturday nights, a few of us here, and take prayer requests from all over the world. And there's always more and more and more. And we could just keep bringing up more things. It could be around the clock. We need more praying people. More people to cry out to God. It's the only hope we have. Things aren't going to just roll along by themselves and we can just step back and hope they get better. We can't just look the other way and pretend we don't see. Prayer is the solution. It's not hard to get answers. It's hard to get people to pray. It's that spirit of Cain. We'd rather pick up a club and go after him. I've heard people say, I've got ammo stored up. I got guns stored up. When they come after me, I'll fix them. Huh? They say, yeah, I've got the love of God. I'll show it in my fists. God will never let His love go into your fists. You know how long they would last? An hour? A minute? Doesn't take long to find them and wipe them out. No, that's not the answer. If we'll keep the spirit of Cain away from us, to eschew that spirit of Cain and yield to God, He will come in and shelter you. He will work miracles to preserve you. They can walk right past your place. Come on. Yeah, now you can do the barbed wire, razor wire, towers, pit bulls and Doberman pinchers and all. You can go that route if you want to, but it won't take them long to wipe out your little nest. But all for the miracles of God. They have no defense against that. Come on. The spirit of Cain, the blood curse of Cain has taken over the world. The club of Cain is lifted now high into the air, ready to strike this earth. But it doesn't have to come near us. Because there is a greater voice that speaks. Greater than that of the blood of Abel, the blood of Jesus speaks on our behalf, making intercession, bringing us into the favor of God. And in that we hope and trust and rejoice. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word. And I pray that somehow it would remain in us and with us, that by Thy Spirit, that Thou wouldst refresh our memory so that we can be free from the spirit of Cain and not to become its steward or its victim. But Lord, that Thou wouldst give us power over that evil spirit and help us to walk in the peace and in the righteousness, O God, that Thou hast purchased for us with Thine own blood. For Lord, we have no king but Thee. We acknowledge no king or any authority but Thine authority, O God. And any authority that is subordinate to Thee we honor, but Thou art the ultimate authority, and there is no longer any authority in this world that is honoring Thee. But Lord, Thou art able to preserve, protect, and defend us. Keep us in Thy perfect care, O God, and help us, Lord Jesus, to just yield to Thee, for Thou wilt surely take up our cause. Thou wilt surely vindicate the cause of Thy people. So we reach out to Thee, Lord. Help us, O God, to be submissive and to be submitted to Thee at all times. Let Thy will be done. Let Thy name be exalted. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.